This is The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW, the show that brings you valuable information about real estate, the financial markets, and other economic business of the day. Your host, Edward Brown, is a nationally recognized expert on money and investing who has appeared on CNN and has published numerous articles in national business magazines and newspapers. Now, your host for The Best of Investing, Edward Brown.
Welcome. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-hosts, Mark Honf and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money. Our phone number is 888-912-1190. Use that number to answer the trivia questions for a five-pack tanning certificate given away during the show. That certificate's not sponsored by the radio station, but by Tan Bella Tanning Salon with two locations in San Francisco and one in Marin. Let's see here. The trivia theme is finish off the musical group.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
It'll be fun. You guys will do pretty well on this. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to introduce Russell Jackman, who's a computer consultant. Got a lot of good information. I'm still on Windows 2, and I think I need to upgrade. So, Nam, you got a good article for us?
Yeah. So, latest in real estate news, mom and pop landlords push investor share of home purchases to a 20-year high. So, I'm just reading the title of an article
that was published.
It means that it says... First paragraph, investors last year made up the biggest chunk of home sales. So investors buying homes as opposed to people who are purchasing for their primary residence, it made the biggest chunk of the home sales in the U.S. in the last two decades, adding to competition in the already tighter starter home market. Mm. So it says the share of homes bought by investors reached 11.3%, the highest level of data going back to 1999, according to CoreLogic, slightly higher than 11% in 2017. And they use mom and pop investors in contrast to like the institutional.
Right, there were companies that were buying up hundreds, if not thousands, of companies like your Blackstone hedge funds in 2011, 12, 13. Yeah, I mean, there were, and they're still, and a lot of them still own those homes today, those companies that they're huge landlords of owning thousands of single family residential properties throughout the U.S.
Yeah.
Right, and they have done very well from an equity standpoint, but now you're saying this article points out that mom and pop investors, so people getting in the game better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess what's happening too is a lot of these companies like the Blackstones of the world, they're liquidating their assets, and there's a growing number of real estate companies.
Bought low, now selling high.
Yeah, there's a number of real estate companies.
Isn't that the secret to getting rich?
Yeah. Well, are they thinking that a recession is on the horizon?
That could be, too.
It's cresting.
Take your profits, like a lot of people are doing now in the stock market, because how much longer could it continue to go up?
And I think a lot of these mom-and-pop investors are buying from some of these institutional, because some of them are tenant-occupied, turnkey, and they're able to buy across different geographies, because there's a lot of websites now that are sort of like there are real estate brokerages that aggregate properties from these Blackstones and others to sell them on behalf of Blackstone. And I think the buyers in a lot of these cases are the mom and pop. At the same time, you're seeing a lot of lending programs out there for investors.
Yes.
That
capital is still very, capital is much less expensive than it has been in the past for buying rental property. So in terms of from an investment perspective, if you believe that real estate is a good long-term investment and the numbers work. Now, if you're buying rental property, you hope you're getting rents and that you're putting enough down and you're getting financing such that it's a positive cash flow for you. It could be an equity play, but given where we are in the market cycle, it's probably not going to be much of an equity play in the short term, in the near term, but in the long term, it's likely to continue to go up in the next cycle, the next upward cycle, I should say. So, that's interesting news. And what that tells me is that maybe people have transitioned or taken profits from equities or other investments and deployed that into rental real estate, which, again, over the long haul has a good track record for returns.
Yeah. So when Blackstone was buying these during the crash, they're buying them, at a fraction of what probably they're selling them for now.
God, yeah. Buying loan tapes of defaulted loans and then either doing workouts or
20, 30 cents on the dollar.
I don't think of mom and pops buying those kind of properties, though.
Well, I think they just mean small-time investors.
Russ, you got a comment?
I just had a question. Do the current tax laws favor the mom-and-pop investor in making these kind of investment properties, or does it does it make it a little bit more complicated?
Tax laws have always favored real estate investing via depreciation and the ability to write off your interest. So, but not more than, say, a company or fund that's buying hundreds of homes. They both share pretty much equally in the tax benefits that you get from real estate investing.
But recently there's been a change in some of those laws. So.
There have been in terms of what we've talked about in past issues or past shows, the QBID, the qualified business income deduction. So real estate investors in certain, if they hold properties in certain entities, yes, can get this 20% benefit where they're able to not recognize the 20%.
And we always say on the show, consult your professional.
Oh yeah, consult your professional. Right. So certain LLCs that invest in real estate may be able to take advantage of that 20% tax savings on their income. But yeah, check with your tax professional on that. Okay. Well, that's interesting news, especially in an environment now where we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show when we got a few extra minutes. Articles in the media would suggest that real estate prices are declining. But I have some real numbers from not headline news, but from actual Case-Shiller Index, most respected index in the nation, that would indicate that not so fast. They're not going up nearly as fast as they were a year ago, and we'll compare and contrast what those numbers are, but they're not declining yet.
All right, guys, we're going to cut to our first commercial break. When we come back, Russell Jackman, who's our computer consultant, he's got a lot of very interesting things to share with us. First trivia question. Again, we're talking finish off the musical group. This actually goes back to the late 50s, early 60s.
You're such an old-timer, Edward.
Yeah. I'm talking the 1860s. Okay. Little Anthony and... What's the rest of the group?
All right?
Okay. Right? Hmm. Like you
better hope older people are listening.
That's right. like Diana Ross and the Supremes, yeah, right? Okay. This is Little Anthony and... Finish off the rest of the name of the group.
Okay.
Remember, they had a few hits. All right. Call 888-912-1190. The first three callers with the correct answer are going to win that tanning certificate. Oh, we're giving away three this time. All right. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing is going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150 or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150 or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. Edward Brown here, along with Mark Hoff and Nam Fana, Pacific Private Money. Finish off this musical group, Little Anthony and...
anybody? Russ? The Monotones?
The Ants.
Nope.
The Antoinettes?
No. The Imperials. Oh. Little Anthony and the Imperials.
you got to go a few years ahead.
Yeah, that's
give me the 1960s. I might have a chance.
Okay, well, there's... yeah, you'll get well, at least what, one of
can
these.
Can you name one of their songs then?
Yeah, can't get you out of my head. Yeah, there's a couple. I'll have to look it up again. But tears on my pillow.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay, in my heart, it's caused by you. Okay, we have here computer consultant Russell Jackman. Now, the first question I have to ask you is the death of Windows 7. What's going on with that?
Every operating system has a certain like life expectancy to it, and to a point at which where Microsoft doesn't want to have to keep having to support and come up with patches and fixes for an operating system that
is free, like Windows 95.
Exactly.
XP.
And there are still people using Windows XP.
I loved XP.
That XP was great.
Well, it is
Vista
great, except that
one.
You can't do anything with it now because it's absolutely. The problem is that a lot of people say, well, Windows 7 works fine. But the ability to protect it and the ability to make it so that hackers can't just walk right on through and do whatever they feel like to it is going to come to an end with Windows 7 unless you have a very special contract with Microsoft itself.
Well, wait, my Commodore 64 has not been hacked yet.
Yeah, because your dial-up 2400 baud modem is really hack-proof.
Yeah.
That is truly hack-proof. And in fact, you know that in some military installations, they're still using 8-bit computers. Because you can't hack them. The missiles are still stuck on floppy disks.
There you go.
And
no hard drive.
Yeah, but you think when one of those things breaks down, good luck
getting parts or
something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So off the air, Russell, we were talking about the fact that like the rest of us sitting at this table, we all still use Windows 7. In fact, my computer, I've got like 15 workstations here. We're all on Windows 7, and but I have Windows 10 at home, and I was saying, I can't really tell the difference, and you said...
hackers really can tell the difference, because the ability to protect Windows 7, it's such a... in today's modern architecture, Windows 7 is so basic, and so the ability for it to protect itself from the complicated schemes that hackers have now to break systems apart, just Windows 7 doesn't have the ability to defend itself the way that Windows 10 can.
And I find that interesting because, like most companies, I have an IT guy, and when I asked him, and this has been a couple of years now, I will admit, when we opened up this office, I think 4 years ago, in this new location, we bought new computers, but he stayed with Windows 7, and I said, well, why not Windows 10? He said, well, Windows 7 is rock solid, and we get it. It's just easier to deploy. But now we're kind of running out of steam.
Right. Yeah, you're by staying retro. Yeah. You know, yes, you do. You don't have to deal with the challenges of a new technology that come in and making sure that everything's compatible with it. But on the other side, you guarantee yourself a greater length of life expectancy for the future.
Yeah.
And for people that cling to Windows 7 and say, oh, I just can't afford to upgrade or anything like that, the ability to maintain your security is going to be pretty much zero after maybe about 6 months into 2020.
So about a year from now.
Yeah, a year from now. It's not going to be safe for you to use a computer like that.
So Windows 10 has been out now for how many years?
Gosh, no, it seems like about 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's
fairly robust and it's established.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I have Windows 10 on my desktop at home, and truthfully, I don't really notice the difference.
What's the difference?
What are the?
Because 8 came out, and I don't think the 8 wasn't very good. if I remember correctly. 9 came out, and I guess...
Well, there was no Windows 9. They skipped.
No, there was no Windows 9.
Okay. Yeah.
So 8 came up with a different design idea, a different interface with tiles that was really a disaster that nobody liked. But operationally, it actually was a pretty big step above where Windows 7 was. And it doesn't crash nearly as much as Windows 7 does. I mean, Windows 7 does have a lot of problems. And it's harder to get drivers now. And dealing with updates that, okay, for a lot of people, they upgraded, a number of people upgraded their Windows 7 machines to Windows 10 when Microsoft gave that offer to do that. And for Microsoft, the incentive was, instead of having technicians needing to be schooled in the insides and outs of Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10, if everyone just all upgraded Windows 10, then they wouldn't have to, you know, field as many calls about the other operating systems, right?
Smart, right.
They're trying to universalize their operating system. Because that's one thing that has hurt Apple, actually, quite a bit, is the fact that the iPhone and the iPad have a different operating system than the Macintosh computer. And so developers have to make the choice, are they going to write something for the Mac operating system, or are they going to do something for the iOS? And because so many billions more people have the iPhones and iPads, that all the app development goes towards the iOS.
So let me go back to this for a minute. The Windows 10. So, Mark, you said you don't notice any difference.
Well, and operationally, and maybe I just gotten used to it, and one of the questions I had for Russell was, I mean, you work with clients, you help upgrade, and you consult with, with clients, businesses, small businesses, and individuals. You know, what do you find is the transition? Is there a learning curve to going from Windows 7 to Windows 10?
Not really much. In fact, there's a program called Classic Shell that's free. It actually makes your Windows 10 interface look exactly like the Windows 7 interface. So it truly is no learning curve if that's what people really want. But I also think it's useful to understand an operating system as it evolves so that you don't stay stuck on one OS. And I mean, look, I go back to working with CPM. You know, the first computer I worked on was a PET, Commodore PET in the Lawrence Livermore Labs in 1977.
You don't look that old.
Well, I got on it when I was like about 11 years old.
There you go.
And then when I grew up here in Marin County, I used the I worked at my mom took me to the Marin Computer Center here in Terra Linda. And we rented Atari computers and old Apple.
Listen, I'm still
Apple
using an abacus and a slide rule, so.
I have seen your laptop. I've seen your laptop, and you're not really that far off.
It's like 5 inches thick.
Yeah.
It weighs 20 pounds.
How do hackers know from a distance what operating system you're using? Like,
they use what's called a sniffer to go and sniff through first different firewall
configurations.
There's
spiders and there's sniffers.
To see who's open. Okay, who's got a firewall that's not as strong as the others, or who isn't running any firewall at all. And then they, it's just like walking along a street. Okay, you want to break into a car. Do you break into the car that has the thousands of dollar alarm system? Do you break into a car that's got a club on it? Or do you break into a car that's got the windows open, the doors unlocked, and there's like stuff lying around on
cash.
The seat? Lying around on the seat.
It's a Pinto.
Yeah. The Pinto you keep moving, but you know, the next decent car that you see that's that thieves are thieves because they want to go through the path of least resistance.
Sure.
If they were real workers, they would get a job.
You know,
and so they're looking for where there's a vulnerability, and when they find that vulnerability, they attack it. And they will go ahead, and sometimes one thing that people say is, well, my computer doesn't have anything on it, it doesn't really matter. But your computer can be turned into a zombie-like bit, a bot that's called a botnet.
Yeah.
And so that your computer, when taken over, a small portion of it contributes to a larger network of computers that then winds up hacking systems.
Got it.
To tell you more.
Zombie botnets.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
excellent.
That in the next segment.
Yeah. And in fact, my security system
shows.
Is, I throw stuff in the garbage. I put a sign on it that says, please don't open. There's personal information in it. All right. Finish off this musical group. Danny and I'll give you a hint. They're famous for a song called At the Hop. At the Hop. Ready? Okay. Danny and, that's our trivia question. Call 888-912-1190. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hoff and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money. Finish off this musical group, Danny and... At the hop, hop, hop.
Danny and the Jets.
No, close.
Draw blanks.
Danny and the Juniors.
Oh,
okay, you better get
Dell
the next one. You better get the next one. All right.
Who comes up with these names? So was Danny the lead singer? He's like, hey, you guys are going to be junior to me. So you guys are going to be the juniors.
Probably.
I'm the one.
Right? Well, at least Diana Ross said
I got the hair, I got the teeth.
Maybe he was the only one that was the senior in high school, and the rest of them were all juniors.
Very possibly.
Very good. We'll research it for the next show.
All right, and that voice from behind that microphone was Russell Jackman, who's our computer consultant of the day.
And we're talking about the difference between Windows 7 and Windows 10. We were talking a little bit about it off the air, and Russell, continue comparing and contrasting why, if you're a Windows 7 guy, you really need to move on and move up to Windows 10.
And
also with 8 and 8.1, the reason why is that Windows 10 makes you do the updates. It does not give you the choice of when you make an update or not. And that's because, and this ties all back into the privacy stuff, Europe changed their privacy laws. And they one of the big problems that Europe was seeing is that Microsoft was allowing people the opportunity to choose when they were going to update and when if they were going to update at all. And the problem is this, when you don't update, that means that you are not taking advantage of the security fixes and patches that they've come up with. Mm-hmm. And so people would go and say, well, and I get this from clients all the time that say, oh, well, whenever I update, my computer screws up. Yeah. And the problem is when you don't update, it's even more dangerous. And Europe was looking at the fact that Microsoft hadn't made that mandatory for all computers. And they were saying, if in your next operating system, you don't make it so that the system forces you to make this update, we're going to hold you responsible for not making an operating system that makes your updates and your security patches become mandatory. And so Windows 7, 8, and 8.1, you can choose when you do your updates and put them off indefinitely. And sometimes I go into a client and say, it's your one-year anniversary. And they go, no, I wasn't married this year today. And I go, no, it was the last time you did an update on your
which
system.
Which is more important.
Yeah, exactly. When it's you're talking other people's information. Yeah. The European privacy rules state that if you have people's information, European people's information in your care, under your custody, it is their property. And if you let that get hacked and get spilled out, you not only have to take responsibility over that, but you have to say what you're not only how you're going to find who took the information, but what you're going to do to stop future problems from happening. And so by making sure that your updates happen on Windows 10. You basically, what you do with Windows 10 now is you set a number of hours, what you call your active hours, from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever. And after 6 o'clock, it says, we're going to restart the computer. You know, you can put it off for an hour, you can put it off for a few hours, but eventually we're going to make sure this computer restarts before morning. Okay? And that way, all the updates get installed.
And with all these patches, is it just the computer programmers are going, oh, we realize that we should have put this new thing in to stop the hackers?
No, I mean, it's a lot more of it. Now, one thing is my dad was a doctor. And if you ever read a medical casebook, the one thing that I got from it, since I didn't want to become a doctor, was that every single case in the medical casebook is about some poor SOB who died from it before they figured out the cure for it. You had to die from something first before they figured out, okay, here's how we cure it. And that's the same way it is with viruses, too. Somebody that gets nailed with a virus then reports it, and then they figure out how to solve it, and then they issue a patch to fix it. Or they also find out, okay, the operating system update that they provided works with everybody's computer, except this one driver that people have for this one printer that came out in 1993 that people are still using in the offices everywhere. Works with everything.
Matrix,
else
baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Someone's tractor feed printer, you know, they hook in and then their whole system crashes. And they find out about that.
In theory, then they could come up with patches every 10 hours.
They do. They're pretty frequent. And so that's why you always want to be up to date on your patches, and you're always looking for stuff because they try to compile them as much as they can. But when it's an urgent one that they know that is a huge vulnerability for your system, that's something that you don't ignore. They save up the other ones so that they do like maybe once every 6 months, like a big update. And then they compile all those minor ones.
How long, when you do that update, how long is your computer down?
It depends on the size of the update. Sometimes it's only like 5-10 minutes, and sometimes it's like 45 minutes or an hour.
So you can do that at like midnight when you're asleep.
Yes.
Isn't there some stunning statistic about the percentage of computers that have been, that are these zombie botnets that we talked about in the last segment?
It's such a huge number that it's really incalculable to a certain degree, because there's a lot of people, again, who are using computers that can't even be tested, like if they're still using Windows XP, which they're still like about a 3 or 4% XP usage that's still out there. Windows 7 is going to become part of that statistic. Windows 8 is part of that statistic. So they've sort of fallen off the actual map of being able to judge how many machines really are on it. But it's probably in like the 100 million range.
Right. And you wouldn't necessarily know if somebody is using your computer cycles to do nefarious stuff.
They don't want you to know.
So that's different from someone who's like trying to do phishing or trying to take over your personal information.
Today's computer has far more power than it needs. So let's say 10 years ago, your computer was being used for botnet. You'd see it and you'd know it because your computer didn't have enough power to spare.
It's always like the hard drive would always be making
noise or
something.
Right, but now your computer is way more powerful than what you're asking it to do. And so it has plenty, unless you're a big gamer or something like that, and you need your optimal speed all the time on your computer.
When you play solitaire, does it slow down a lot?
Exactly.
I don't know. These cards, they go too slowly.
Exactly. So a lot of people won't know because they're not pushing their system that far. Yeah. They won't see like a tiny fraction of a percentage of difference. And so unless they run regular virus scans, if they're not using a good virus scanning system, and they don't check it regularly, and then they don't know how to react to it when they find something on it.
But what is your favorite antivirus type?
The one that doesn't expire, or the one that you can afford to pay for. So I've been working a lot with Norton because it comes as part of Xfinity's system.
Oh, yeah.
McAfee is part of the AT&T system. I think ESET offers a very strong level.
Avast?
Avast is on the lower end. Okay. Avast, unfortunately, and the Microsoft built-in antivirus program. It must be free, Edward. Those, because it's worth
$2 a month. Come on,
it's worth paying for because it's good to have the kind of professional level of
protection. Well, the McAfee one that drives me crazy on my one is it comes up and says, "Oh, you haven't updated your McAfee one," and I can't get rid of it. I just can't get rid, you know, I can push it off to the side and then it reminds me again. It just drives me crazy. All right, guys, we're going to cut to our third commercial break. It drives me crazy, these computers. Okay. All right, you guys better get this one.
All right.
Because this is like the king, not the king of rock and roll, but the original rock and roll. Bill Haley and...
Ooh.
Oh, you know this one? Oh, all right, finally. We got to go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, as I say. Call 888...
Rock around the clock tonight.
That's right. Call 888-912-1190. The first three callers with the correct answer are going to win that tanning certificate. Stay with us. You're listening to The Best in Investing. We're going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150 or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Edward Brown here, along with Mark Hoff and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money. Third trivia question. Everyone knew this one. Finish off this musical group, Bill Haley and...
The Comets.
The Comets.
Haley's Comets.
Haley's Comets. Very good.
One out of three.
The
That's
only one
my
that
usual.
Makes sense, actually, out of the whole, the, out of that whole, all
it's
three
right,
of them.
Haley, yeah. One out of three. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame if you're batting that
that's
for...
That's true. I am in the Hall of Fame.
Or get you cut if you're in the NBA.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. So, Russell, before we go on to Mark and talking about Pacific Private Money, in case people have questions about computers, how did they get a hold of you?
I have an old-fashioned address at computerconsult at AOL.com. That's CalmputerConsult at AOL.com. And you can go find that also on Facebook, facebook.com/calmputerconsult.
Computer.
You're also really involved in the community. I was saying, I think I first met you, Russell, like 10 years ago.
Longer.
Yeah, I guess
keep
it was.
Keep going.
Yeah, there was.
It's like 15.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
We all had more hair back
with
then.
With Link Local Marin, we're Marin County's largest networking group.
Yeah.
And you can find us as a group on LinkedIn. And we offer evening networking events and lunch speaker series that are all free for Marin County residents. So I urge people to check that out.
And the reason it's free is because it's like a no-host bar type of thing?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
That's the reason. That makes sense.
Awesome.
Okay, moving on here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get into an email, and then you can back it up, basically. Okay, so Mark, how easy is it for you to redeem an investor's account if he or she wants to cash out of your fund?
So that's an investment question, and my name is Mark Hanf. I'm broker and president founder of Pacific Private Money. We're an alternative real estate finance provider based right here in the Bay Area. And for the last 11 plus years, we've been making, you know, what has been known as hard money loans, private money loans. We now like just the kind of the moniker alternative real estate finance. And we use that term because we're really, you know, what does hard money and private money even mean anymore? The alternative to bank financing industry has grown tremendously over the last 10 years. In fact, it continues to grow year in and year out, especially in California. There's so much money coming into California to finance companies who have started up in the last 5 years in the alternative finance industry. And here at Pacific Private Money, we still use mostly private capital, private individual investors who invest in our note products either directly or indirectly. And the indirect way to invest in our note products, and it's the easiest way to participate in investing in deed of trust secured notes or mortgages, to use a more common term, is through our Pacific Pacific Private Money Fund. It's a private placement where we have raised now a little, just under 50. We're about to crack the $50 million mark in invested capital from about 200 private individuals, mostly here in the Bay Area. And that fund has been around now for 6 years, and it's producing a yield that is the trailing 12-month yield right now is about 7.6%, 7.55 to 7.6 is, so call it 7.5% is about where we're falling. And what's really neat about that that investment opportunity, you know, it is a private placement, and most private placements do have a holding period, a minimum holding period, where you can't get your money out right away. Ours is 1 year. That's pretty much the minimum lockup period to invest in our fund. And our fund, because we invest mostly in short-term real estate loans, where that's our specialty here at Pacific Private Money, is people who need bridge loans, short-term use of capital. They rent the money from us from anywhere from just a few weeks to 6 months to a year, sometimes longer. But the vast majority of the loans we're making now are planned to be repaid within a year. They come to us because of how easy it is and the low documentation. We do our due diligence on every borrower. We don't. We still say no to 9 out of 10 people who call us for money, because we're really looking for specific situations where they've got a viable repayment strategy. Either they're borrowing it to buy property that they're going to refinance conventionally, or they're borrowing it because they're going to sell their property. So they're either going to do one of two things. They're going to refinance and pay us off, or they're going to sell and pay us off. Not, well, maybe if everything goes right in my life over the next 5 years, I'll figure out a way to pay you back. But we don't do those hope and a prayer loans.
Hey, can you give us a deal of the week?
Well, I haven't answered the question yet. The question
I'm sorry.
Was the question was how easy it is someone who invests in the Pacific Private Money Fund to get their money back. See, you were listening.
I'm
you?
Sorry, yeah.
Stop checking your email when I talk. I'm taking it personally.
Solitaire, Mr. Brooks.
I won. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So investors in the Pacific Private Money Fund, our fund is generally designed to be fairly liquid because of the short-term nature of the fund. And so after a year, it's actually really easy. We make it easy. This particular fund, much easier than most funds. So if you're looking at investing in a real estate based fund, whether it's a mortgage fund or an investment fund, you do want to look at, you know, what are my redemption options here? First of all, you want to find out, is there any fee on my funds going in or out of the fund? Is there a fee going in or a fee going out? The answer is no, there's not at the Pacific Private Money Fund. If you invest $100,000, all that money goes to work for you. And when you're ready to redeem, you can pull all of it out. There's no charge to your money, and all of it earns a return for you. Now, while the private placement memorandum, the offering circular that you would read when you invest in the fund will say that, you know, it has certain factors in there, like when payoffs come in, we're not allowed to reloan out that money if there's a redemption request in the queue. So that's very important. Most funds are not written that way, so ours is fairly liberal in favor of the investor to get his money out. We also, from time to time, will have a small line of credit on the fund. We can use that. Or if new capital comes in. So between new capital, a line of credit, and payoffs, that's happening on a regular basis. There's a lot of money flowing through the operating account. And every month, we process 3, 4, 5 redemptions on average. After 6 years, a lot of our people have had their money in for a while. Maybe they're doing a partial redemption because they're buying a car or a house or, you know, wedding for their kids or whatever reason they're pulling out $25,000 or $50,000. We could do same day redemptions in an emergency if we have the funds. I mean, we try to be really responsive to our investors. It's not like we have 2,000 investors. We've got 200 investors. So it's manageable for us to be able to do it. So again, for more information about this, I know we're kind of getting into the weeds of how the fund works, but you know, if you want to know how you can earn returns in the 7% range secured by real estate, your money's not tied up forever, and it's actually pretty simple to get it back out again after a year, go to pacificprivatemoney.com. That's our website, pacificprivatemoney.com. You can click the Invest tab. It'll give you a bunch of information. But really the best way is to call us or visit us. Take the trip to Novato. It's a lovely little town in the northern part of Marin County. Drive up the 101, not during the commute hours, of course, but come visit us. It's summer. Things have slowed down a little bit because it's the holidays coming up with the 4th of July, but we would love to meet with you you. A lot of our investors come by just to chat, take our temperature on what's happening in the market, et cetera. Give us a little, you know, add a little bit to their account. Here's a check for $50,000. Hey, we love you. Have some candy.
Have some candy. Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting. The last distribution for this last month, I believe, was 7.78%.
Yeah, it was. We had a little bit of a jump. So yeah. You know, you never know what, you know, it's based on the income of the fund. And we're always looking for ways to increase that income and boost the revenue. So for more information, go to PacificPrivateMoney.com.
And when we come back, we're going to hear Deal of the Week. And basically, because, you know, you're explaining about the fact that you do these loans, get this high interest rate. I'm sure the audience wants to know, like, what specific kind of deals we're talking about.
Who on God's green earth would borrow from you guys?
Yeah.
And why?
All right.
Yeah, right.
We already asked our trivia questions. Stay with us. When the Best of Investing comes right back, we're going to have some closing comments and those deals of the week. Hi, listeners. This is Edward Brown, your host. I had a 40-year-old listener sign up for a $500,000 life insurance policy guaranteed not to increase for the next 35 years at a cost of only $51 per month. Holy smokes, that's less than $2 per day guaranteed for 35 years. Imagine, this is probably the last life insurance policy this listener will ever need to buy because the premium is fixed for the next 35 years and it is from a well-known, highly rated company. For your free quote, call our toll-free number, 888-912-1190, and make sure to leave your name and ask for a free quote. I'll get right back to you. Hurry, as I suspect these rates will not last long. Again, call 888-912-1190 and ask for your free life insurance quote.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at PacificPrivateMoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hanf and Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money. Didn't have a trivia question to ask, and I've already looked at all my emails, so I'm back online here.
You're paying attention.
I'm paying attention. Nam, give us a deal of the week.
So this deal of the week, you know, in the past deals of the week, we always talk about our bridge loans and a lot of the owner-occupied loans.
Like home buyers, yeah.
Who home buyers,
us.
Yeah. And so it's kind of change of pace. I wanted to pull up a loan that actually didn't go into the fund because it's not necessarily meet the fund characteristics. But just to highlight some of the different kinds of deals that we do. And this one was an apartment complex in San Jose. Borrowers came to us and they identified an investment opportunity. It was just a four-unit apartment complex with a commercial business down below. And they said this is undervalued. The rents are below market. They're paying for low rents just because the place hasn't been updated. So they were able to get this property at a good deal. I mean, it was 65% loan to value. So they brought in a fair amount of equity, down payment. So we made the loan for $1.25 million.
Why couldn't they go to the bank?
I think it was just seizing an opportunity to purchase. So it was something they had to close on quickly.
Speed, okay.
But their plan is to, they're going to hold on to it. They're not actually not going to sell it. They're going to do some rehab and over time get
the rents
new
up
tenants and rents up and get a better business down below. Then they'll refinance out into a conventional.
So it is actually a mixed use.
It is.
Building.
Mixed use.
Okay, and there's some banks that won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and many people still assume that the reason you come to an alternative finance provider or private money lender is because you've got bad credit. And really, probably the majority, if you looked at the majority of reasons why people come to us, it's probably an even split between those who have a need for speed.
Yep.
And we can accommodate speed, and banks typically can't. I mean, some banks will say, oh, we can close in 21 days, which is actually really fast for a bank. But even that's not always fast enough for some of the transactions people yep. come to us in need of closing. And the other one is just that banks can't accommodate the type of loan product that we offer, which is goes back to the owner-occupied purchase money bridge loan. We can help them. We can supply 100% of the financing to buy a home if they have an existing home with equity, because we'll just cross with two properties. And banks don't cross, and neither do the non-prime or non-QM lenders that are flourishing out there. They provide a great service for people with beat-up credit, but they don't cross-collateralize, and we cross-collateralize.
Well, one of the reasons banks take so long is most banks are fairly large companies, and you've got layers upon layers. You have, supervisors.
It's a lot of paperwork, a lot of stuff to provide.
Yeah. It's not just one guy who just makes the decision. Yeah, this sounds like a good loan. Where do I, go ahead and just
we have a small group of underwriters that collaborate on a daily basis by the hour. We have phone calls come in. We're looking for the types of loan situations and scenarios that we're here to serve, and that's what we do here at Pacific Private Money.
Yeah, and a lot of investors who purchase real estate and who come to us and other private lenders for loans, the rate difference isn't the deciding factor in the profitability of the deal, right? It's yeah. usually how much can they sell it for? How much does it cost for them to do the rehabilitation? It's not the how much are they paying every month in fees. I mean, that is a factor, but it's not the factor.
Right. So. And in a perfect world, I mean, no one likes to pay 9% for a real estate loan, but compare and contrast it to other types of debt out there. There's a huge number of loan programs, whether it be receivables or yeah. credit cards or you name it, that are in the teens, if not the 20s on the interest rate.
Well, it's short term, too. Yeah. So they'll refinance it out with a yeah. conventional bank. It's really just the points they have to pay.
Right. It's the opportunity. It's an opportunity to buy real estate fast.
Okay. And Russell, give out your information one more time for people who have questions on computers.
Yes. For anyone that's interested in finding out about Computer Consulting Services, you can find me, first of all, on LinkedIn, Russell Jackman, Esquire. It's available. I come up on all the LinkedIn searches. My webpage is at facebook.com/calmputerconsult, CalmputerConsult, and then it's calmputerconsult@AOL.com. Thank you very much.
Because you're calm.
Thanks for coming, Russell.
Yep. Okay, here's our thoughts for the day. I'm on a 30-day diet. So far, I've lost 10 days. Not bad, huh? And worrying won't stop bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. Think about nice. That. Mm-hmm. All right. Tune in next week to The Best of Investing. We're going to be giving away more free prizes for answering trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown, wishing you the best of investing. So long.
You've been listening to The Best of Investing with Edward Brown. For more information on this program, call 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. Or visit bestofinvesting.com. And join us again next week for The Best of Investing on the Bay Area's Business Leader, AM 1220 KDLW.
This radio broadcast is in no way an offer to sell securities except where applicable in states where we are registered or where an exemption or exclusion from such registration exists. Information discussed during this broadcast, whether stock quotes, charts, articles, or any other statement or statements regarding market or other financial information, is obtained from sources which we believe are reliable, but we do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. Nothing in this broadcast should be interpreted to state or imply that past results are an indication of future performance. There are no warranties expressed or implied as to accuracy, completeness, or results obtained from this broadcast.